Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to After Things, the show that we do after Weird Things. But after Weird Things just sounded weird, so we called it After Things. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
Hello.
Justin Robert Young.
Well, hi.
And our producer, Pepe Le Bryce Castillo.
Pepe Le Bryce.
Adieu.
He asked me politely in French, and every time I hear "s'il vous plaît," all I think is "soufflé." I literally have that moment in my head because you have some words you just sort of like
sweet mint julep.
Yeah, like it's like I remember I did one of those language tapes once trying to learn Spanish. And like they show like a dog, a perro, but like they talk about like a pirouette and a dog spinning. So whenever I see that, I see a dog here, perro, I think of like a dog in like a ballerina outfit, you know? So I do this, it's a very interesting mental imagery here that I don't think I needed to have. So anyhow, hi, how are you?
Good. I'm doing great. I got crazy allergies, but outside of that, I'm good. Continuing to work at the gym, that's good.
Well, we talked about like leveling up. That was going to be our goal this year. We were going to try to level up. And do you remember how like 2017 went by like really, really fast?
Yep. Yeah, we were talking on Weird Things about the idea of like going in a crowd chamber and then just weeks pass. That's life. that's exactly what actually happens on the daily.
Yeah, 2017 for me was about 3 months long.
Yeah, feels like it. Now, do you feel like a lot of that was because you fell into a rhythm? Because I found that the fastest years of my life have been ones with a daily routine that is regular. And you just sort of look up, you're like, oh, it's already Monday again. It's already Monday again. Whereas the time I was on tour, and it was always a different city, 2 to 3 cities per week, constantly on the road, constantly a quest. Every morning you wake up and you think in 4-hour increments. I'm either going to an airport, out of an airport, setting up a show, tearing down a show, going on to the next place. Those seem like an eternity. Like 5 days would feel like, man, that was a lifetime ago that I was in Iowa.
I hear you, and this is why I'm going to put together a new legislative promote idea. I call it the accelerated prison time, and the idea that like these guys have it too easy because prison's the same every day and time goes by too fast.
Make it real interesting.
Striped wallpaper today, you know, polka dots today, you know. Tonight all the announcements are going to be in Icelandic, you know.
It's kind of soft psychological warfare, but I very much appreciate where you're coming from.
Just have it too easy. But yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with that. I've talked about this before. Like I had a lost year. I mean, I probably had like a lost decade, but I had a lost year where it was like, I'd moved into my townhouse. I did the same thing I did. I came up with like, you know, 2 or 3 magic tricks that year, same routine, everything. And I swear to God, it was like, I go walk into my townhouse, I set my keys down, and it was a Battlestar Galactica season 2 jump, and it's 1 year later.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, I have no idea what I'm like, if you ask me, what did you do like 2002 or 2003? I'm like, I know I had a girlfriend at the end of one, and then I didn't for a while after that.
I'll tell you what, that I'm kind of going through that right now because a big part of restructuring everything at the house has me driving my kid to school every day. And, you know, so there's a rhythm. So I take the kid to school and then I go to the gym and then I do whatever. And because of the rhythm, time's going faster, but at least I'm watching projects progress. And at the very least, you know, I'm now 2.5 months into trying to get, you know, really kind of trying to do a decent body transformation. At the very least, I'm going to be able to point to this time, even if it does go by in a blink, and say, oh yeah, that's when I got fit, you know?
Yeah. Justin?
You know, I mean, I would say really, when I'm productive is when things tend to have gone faster. But, you know, last year, definitely, I kind of like lost a handle on it with the injury and or the back thing. And that was something where I, like, I very much felt kind of annoyed that I had like a year kind of taken from me, you know, like that I was I did not have you know, the kind of mobility that would have allowed me to kind of do more. And then, you know, realizing that that's probably even an excuse, and I probably could have done more even with the limitations that I had. But yeah, no, I mean, I think like that's the one different perspective that I have now is just like, you know, any kind of able-bodied time is good.
There was a book written by a magician by the name of Giovanni Lavera, who is from a Florida magician, really good. I remember his lectures are fantastic, and I never knew him that well, but I always enjoyed when he would come to lecture and talk. And he had a book out, and it's still available, called Live 1,000 Years, Have the Time of Your Life. And the whole idea is basically the premise is if you base your life on experiences, if you try to have more experiences, you're going to live. It's going to feel like a lot longer. And I think there's so much truth to that.
You know, I'm going through kind of a weird, I don't want to say crisis of conscience or whatever, but I'm curious. I have not, in the last 5 years or so, made as big of an effort as I used to keep track of all the stories of all the awesome stuff I did in a while. Like at some point, you know, once the TV show came out and once Scam School hit 1 million subscribers, those stories kind of felt less appropriate to be constantly telling other people, because it's like, yeah, no, we get it. You're successful. And so I've turned down the volume on that. And I find myself wondering, like, am I failing to save more of these interesting stories as a result of instead staying future focused and working on the next project? Like, you know, like, we've talked about this before. You know, there's that strange amnesia the moment we do a podcast. Someone comes up later is like, that was really hilarious when you said whatever. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that does sound like a thing I probably said, I assume. And I guess my question is, do you think I'm robbing myself of the whole benefit of bothering of having to had those experiences?
I'm not a nostalgic guy, so I'm the wrong person to ask. And like, I have that problem to the point that people are like, oh, this was so great when this happened. And close friends, I'm like, I have no recollection of that at all. That's entirely character with me, whatever I do. I just don't retain that stuff like other people do. You know, memento, I'm like, yeah, this isn't how everybody else lives. You know, don't we all wake up with the post-it notes like this? I had this sort of epiphany yesterday, because I was thinking about like, so, you know, we mentioned it before, I shoehorned it in, you know, I got nominated for an Edgar, and, you know, that is, as a writer, you know, somebody like myself who's felt like an outsider, you know, trying to sort of justify, like make my way in, and who was extremely uncertain about my work, extremely like, I don't know if it's any good. And I don't know if this book is people going to like it. And this is a book that like third book in a series. And then it gets nominated for an Edgar Award, which for mystery is arguably the award.
That's doubly important because, you know, if it wins, or just being nominated is fantastic, but it invigorated energy into a franchise that I, you know, you only have so much time and you go where the heat is. The heat was not on this franchise until suddenly a switch got flipped. Your primary heat. I guess you only have so much attention, and a lot of it has been on naturalist stuff.
Yeah, but I guess the thing I was going to say is that, like, I'm like, okay, this is cool. This is, I'm flattered. I'm excited. Meanwhile, I've got to go do this other thing because I have this other project in the works here. Naturalist has some cool stuff, you know, that's going through and going on in this. I've got another book that I've got to finish because some people are really eager for that. And that's got a big thing. And then I've got all these, and I'm like, and I remember seeing, because I was looking up the Edgar Awards, I'm seeing like these, you know, these people like in their local newspapers, so-and-so got nominated for the Edgar, local. So I'm like, this is cool. But like, I'm also like, you know, but it's also kind of like, when you're pushing yourself to do interesting things, you have a lot of interesting things happening around you. And having something like this happen is really, really cool, but it's not the biggest story for 2018 for me, you know.
But and by the way, how great is that? How great is that? I always think in terms of time traveling. You go back to you 10 years ago and say, "Hey, by the way, in 2018, you're nominated for an Edgar Award," and then you're like, "Oh, how wonderful! That means I make it as a." And then ghost you pops back. You're like, "Oh, also, that's like the fourth most interesting thing." Bye, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's – and again, I don't want to downplay. And is maybe is Andrew secretly preparing himself to lose? No, I already know I'm going to lose. That's fine. I just nominate for Edgar reads almost as well in copy as Edgar Award winning. You know, it's the way the mind reads that thing, the way – I'm fine. But point is trying to do a number of things, trying to do – and that's the way it should be. You should be like, yes, this is great, but I'm working on this other thing. This is great, but – I'm trying this other book is what I'm excited about. Yes, this is great. I'm excited that book got attention. The next Jessica story is really what I care about. And so my point, I guess, is that I was thinking about this because I'm like, oh, this is really cool. And I'm like, how many times does like a celebrity have a lot of really cool, interesting things happen to them that don't make the news because so many other things happen to them?
Yeah, I mean, look, and you probably have a great example in that Arnold book that you've been reading that there's, you know, a million little tidbits that are there that, you know, are probably more interesting than, you know, what we would kind of classically define as either celebrity news or gossip, you know, or just the big headlines that kind of come from a career.
So I'm going to, if I may, I'll diverge and I'll say that I've been working on a new writing project and it's been going slow. And I've been, you know, as a person who is, you know, just I'm trying to juggle a lot of things. I'm trying to learn how to juggle and do a lot of things at once now where I could just hyper-focus on one thing. It's easy when you're trying not to. And I've come to a realization that, you know, I wrote a whole book on writer's block and sort of tried to get into sort of why we get blocked, how to fix it, whatever. And one of the points I've made in there is you have to understand it may not be that you don't have the energy to do it. It may be that you don't know what to do. You think you know what to do, but you don't. You know, sitting down to write, like, I have an idea for a story. I'm going to go do this. But you know what? Maybe you don't really have all the structure figured out. And the reason you're staring at the screen is like, I don't know where to begin. Like, yeah, because you haven't figured out what really happens. Sometimes it's an energy problem. Other times it's not knowing what to do. Often we don't work out because it's an energy problem. Like, I don't want to work out, you know. Writing, you know, but the solution for working out is put on your gym clothes. You know, just put on your gym clothes. You'll be amazed at what will happen once you just do that simple act. When it comes to writing, the problem can be you sit down, like, I'm in front of the screen. Why isn't this happening like working out? Well, working out's the same thing you did the week before and the week before. Here, trying to create something new. So, little observation. Make sure you understand that either it's because it may not be a lack of energy. It may be just you haven't laid out your plan. It's like, I'm going to paint. I got my canvas. I got my brushes. Do you have any paint? Is that important? Do I need paint?
Yeah.
Do you have any story that you want to tell with painting? Like, oh, is that a thing painters do?
Yeah. You know? I'll give you a great example. It's like my covers, you know, I do pretty good covers on my books. I'm no MS Corley who has been made both Pace Magazine and Entertainment Weekly's best covers of the year for my Naturalist cover. But the way I do my covers, I do them all in Photoshop, but they don't start there. I got to sit down with a notepad and sketch stuff out. If I don't have a template of person here, this here, whatever, Photoshop is not a sketching program. You know, it's not, I mean, maybe it can be, but for me, it's not. And the same thing comes to writing. I can't just sit in front of a blank screen and go, I'm going to write. You have to ask questions. You have to break down the problem, what you're trying to do and what you're trying to accomplish. I guess what I'm trying to say, really understand what the goal is before you try to go do this thing.
Yeah.
Month is almost up. Feeling already. Good, Brian?
Yeah, dude. This was also a birthday month. So January is always a big month for me because it's the odometer flips over on the year. You start thinking about goals and also my personal life odometer flips over. I did have some really exciting stuff's going on behind the scenes, which I look forward to sharing with everybody. But I think the thing that has me happiest right now is that things are just so busy. And I think that's when I'm happiest is when I'm just moving from a thing that it's like you have no choice but to we've talked about this before, but that's the seductive part about life on tour. And I'm learning how to manufacture that life while not being on tour, which is very exciting for me. Oh,
Andrew, you muted yourself. You thought you muted yourself when
Andrew,
you sneezed.
he must have muted himself right after sneezing.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. I went to mute myself to sneeze, and then apparently I unmuted myself. I did something.
Sorry.
What were you saying when you were muted?
This year so far, I mean, do you feel you're on track? Or you?
Oh yeah, no, very much so. And a big part of it is just focusing so hard on the health and getting in shape stuff, because that is the one that creates the serotonin rush of you know, once you worked out really hard during the day, wake up sore the next day, and you're reminded that yesterday you kicked butt. I mean, to be honest, like I can understand why somebody like Jeff Bezos would spend a lot of money to make sure he ends up getting buff and ripped, because that affects everything you do. You think, no, screw it. Let's eat that frog that has been sitting on our desk for a while.
Justin, same for you, or?
No, no, not really. No. You know, I mean, this year is, I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff coming up, and I'm working on things that definitely make me uncomfortable, specifically with like the live shows. And I'm working with somebody on trying to get a lot of, you know, my ducks in a row, and I'm excited about stuff that's coming up. But to be, you know, brutally honest, you know, the I didn't get back until 9 days, you know, and into the month. And, you know, I've had 10 or, you know, a little over 10 or 12 days since then. And three of them have been either traveling or somewhere where I wasn't working as hard as I needed to. So, you know, this is not, I think, me at peak efficiency. But then again, I might just be kind of down because I'm sick. So who knows?
You know, in the Arnold Schwarzenegger book, one of the things he talked about was how much he's on the road, how much he's out traveling, doing talks, doing stuff like that, and how he kind of lives for that. And I thought that was a very interesting thing, because I'm a person that, like, I hate to travel. I hate to do that because I don't get to write. I don't get stuff done. And I'm trying to get better and, you know, becoming more comfortable doing that. But it was interesting to see somebody who, a large part of his success, not unlike Bob Hope, who made so many appearances and was around so much. And, you know, for me, who is this weird introvert extrovert, you know, look at a guy who is Arnold's clearly an extrovert, you know, and you know, that speaks to a large part of his success. Is, and I've thought about, like, man, can I learn to be a road warrior? Can I learn to be a person that's okay traveling, going out there and doing stuff? Because I'm like, if I have like a couple meetings in a week, like I won't book travel there, even though I could probably make it work. I just, you know, my stress level just goes up too much. So I don't know. That might be my goal, is just to try to be able to manage more stuff in inconvenient situations.
That's actually it's been weird. Falling out of the rhythm of it makes travel more intimidating. Because when you're doing it all the time, I mean, I guess, Justin, you've experienced this. When you were completely road warrioring, I mean, you took a personal pride of having your perpetual bug-out bag exactly ready to go. You know your exact elite status, and you just feel like you're floating above everyone else. But it's been, what, a month? I think this will have been a two-month stretch before I go do the show up in New York in Schenectady. And I'll have just been home that entire time. And weirdly, it makes it all more intimidating. It's a strange experience.
Well, I think the difference for me that I found was, even when I was at the Go game, the only times I would make mistakes is when I had like a week or two off.
Yep. That's the way it was for me on the stage show. Coming back after summer, those first few shows, rough, as you hit those rhythms again.
Well, because part of it is just getting your life as optimized as possible, and you don't realize where exactly you're kind of shaving that time out of until you fall out of it and it's not muscle memory, right? But yeah, you know, look, I think for you, Brian, I've seen with you, you know, a huge kind of difference between the Brian that was off the road because there was other stuff versus the Brian that understands and appreciates what being off the road means, you know, because I think for a while you were definitely kind of just hunting for that adrenaline, that you know, days in, days out adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
And like the home base was like, no, that means, you know, that means I'm sober. Like, who wants that? Like, you know, I used to do awesome adrenaline things every day, and now I'm here. Like, you, anybody else on the world that I would talk
all you,
to.
All you normies and plebes, I will not be one you.
If you're listening to people talk about doing kind of cool and interesting stuff, and you feel left out, like I did for most of my life, like, I want to be part of stuff that's cool and stuff. I want my attention for my stuff. There are ways to sort of become more active, to gain more traction. And one of the things is that be a person that organizes things, be a person that makes things happen. And I, you know, it can be, you know, you could be a person at a party that gets not your party, but somebody else's, that invites other people into a conversation. It can be as simple as seeing somebody standing by themselves, say, hey, come on over here. Who are you? Oh, yeah, we're talking about this. What do you think about this? It's a very simple little social thing you can do to all of a sudden make other people part of something. People want to go where something interesting is happening. And if you're, you know, if you're a writer, hypothetically, if I was back in Florida and I was still trying to build up an audience or build attention for what I was trying to do, I'd probably try to find out, like, hey, how many local writers are there in my area that are self-publishing, that are getting good reviews or doing stuff, and then reach out to them and say, hey, let's go put on an event. You know, let's go put on a free writing seminar at the local library. Let's go do something like this. Then all of a sudden, you become a nexus. You become a person that organizes and puts something together. And those things can actually be very easy to put together because you're creating an outlet for somebody else. Conventions, fan conventions started because people said, "Hey, man, I love this thing." And they're talking to some other random person like, yeah, I love this thing too. Let's go rent, you know, a conference room somewhere and just talk about how much we love this thing.
You know what I've started doing is I've started giving myself permission. Like, I just realized if you ever see a celebrity, there was a time I saw Ron Perlman waiting for his luggage. And I confessed to my friend who works over at Warner Brothers that I was too intimidated to say hello or anything. He's like, look, here's the thing. Nobody ever minds you just coming up saying, hey, I just wanted you to know I really dig your work. And you're done.
That's not true, but that's a delightful
thought. Oh, really?
I've had friends have got stories about, like, you know, encounters with celebrities and stuff like that, where just that goes horribly awry.
Oh, really?
I have. So I'm not going to name names. Okay. So a friend of mine was at some event.
What did Cruz Billis say about?
No. We'll just say that this person's a delightfully well-loved actor. I actually once, you know, was in the bathroom at the Arclight Theater, and he was the only other person there, and he just looks over and nods, and I nod because he's just trying to preemptively. But anyhow, this actor, famous actor, everybody knows who this person is. I know a magician who was at some event or whatever, he was there or whatever, and hung out, talked to him a little bit, whatever. Long time later, this magician's with a couple other buddies or somewhere, and they see this other famous, super famous actor standing or somewhere or whatever like this. And the one magician, a super nice guy, says, hey, it's so-and-so. It's like, yeah, it's so-and-so. It's like, hey, do you think I should say hello? You know? And they're like, yeah, sure. You know, like, you know, it seems like the decent thing to do. All right. So he goes on over and goes, and the way my friends were there describing it says, we see him go and the actor go, just mouthing like, just go away, why are you bothering me, leave me alone. I mean, you know, and the other guy just walks back across the street. It seemed like the decent thing to do.
So I'm gonna guess that I don't know, it sounds like maybe it wasn't the actor had the impression that they were being asked to do something more than accept a quick compliment or
this actor, my brief encounter was fine. I know somebody else had chatted and had a great encounter. I don't know what happened, but I was just that when I hear like, oh, but I've been at parties and stuff and might have been parties sort of thing where they're there to hang out, socialize and stuff. Totally. I'm like, hey, I love, and some of my friends who are some of my famous friends now,
sure,
are people who I just came up like, hey, I dig this. I'm like, oh, cool. And they're like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then I've made friends that way. And I think it it's situational. So, a lot of
times, I guess to my point, like what I've done, started doing lately because of that interaction, flawed though the intel may have been upon further inquiry. But I've started just dropping emails to people to say,
that's great.
The work, I dig your work. There's one, there's a program on the CBC, the podcast that I assume plays on the radio called Under the Influence. That's all about the advertising biz. This guy's been doing the show for 20 years and I dig his stuff. And I was like, you know what? He's not going to get mad because I sent him a short note saying, hey, I really dig your stuff. And absolutely. So I started doing that for everything. And about half of them bothered to respond. And they're like, hey, that's very cool. But every so often, you get one of those electric sparks that surprises. In the case of, you know, 10 years ago, right before we were launching Scam School, I was a fan of these online forums for something called Pointless Waste of Time. .com and there's this writer David Wong and this other guy John Cheese, and I've been following their stuff, and then later David Wong folded his entire forums into cracked.com and became part of that whole thing. And I've started following John Cheese, started swapping texts with him over Twitter, and then found out that he was one of the bazillion-y people that got crap canned from crack.com and went away. And there was this moment that I was like, hey man, is everything, because we had been idly chit-chatting and we had this vague, I like your stuff, we got to real talk, and it turns out that he had been watching my stuff for years, and it was this, and I realized like all of that was because of that extroverted kind of impulse. And now it's too early to say what, but we're working on a thing.
I think he announced it today.
Yes, he did. Okay.
Yeah, his Twitter laid out a fairly graphic roadmap.
We're trying not. We said Monday. Yes, we all agreed. I don't trust me. It's me I don't trust because I feel
what are you
like
spoil.
Okay, I'm gonna spoil it.
I'm
not going to say what's going to happen on Friday, but I'm going to say on Friday you should definitely go to themodernrogue.com.
Is this the John Cheese where he says, dear human, so my big project first go to?
yes. But no details. I will give no details about what will be there on Friday. But
no, he says...
He doesn't say the word. He says a lot of very specific. He said, we talked about this. We had a whole meeting where we were like, no, we'll announce it.
That's fine. Look, I'm trying to play coy. Our whole plan, the whole plan was to let various outlets talk about it on Monday, but give enough mystery so that on Friday everybody shows up. I don't trust me to not give up. Like, so anyway, the first article is going to be about.
I do see a world where you're like, oh man, we're doing this. All right, here's a link to the article.
This is me trying to.
Respect.
That's right. I'm Odysseus tying himself to the mast. So it's like, I will not be the one to spill the beans on everything. Okay. But anyway, all of that came about because of that extroversion thread, right? That want to reach out and create something and be part of something.
Yeah, I think the key is, you know, and 100% to your point. I think that's certain socially there's situations like so and so's over at the table. Don't go bother them. You know, so maybe they're cool, maybe they're not. Some people are, some of them, but like, yeah, email. They have an email. Hey, I love what you do. It's great. Because there's nothing, you're not asking anything. They open up their inbox, they know they're accepting people, you know, time. They go to a party. Yeah, talk to them. Say hello. Talk to them, you know. That's fine. You know, these things. Like, don't be afraid to say, I like what you do, I like what you do. And that's the thing. Sometimes there's a transaction where it's, and can I get a photo? And can I get this? And can I get that? And then it's like,
I think the one thing that is universal, be it brevity in an email or brevity in a one-on-one encounter, is be the one to punch out. Know when the best interaction with somebody that you don't know that probably gets talked to a lot is to just be, say your piece and then say goodbye. That is one thing that I think that is always well appreciated, even if that person is very aggravated and irritated, like at least let them be yelling at you while you walk away.
There was an article about, I forget which author, some super reclusive kind of author who had a house in the middle of, you know, some New England place or something like this. And this woman goes to the door or whatever, knocks on the door, big fan or whatever, to go talk to him. Oh, I just want to say hello. And the response was like, I don't have time. He's like, there are 10,000 of you and only one of me. And he shuts the door, which is like, it was a little bit gruff, but I mean, you know, and the point,
but that's a different situation. That's invading someone's personal space and
oh, for
and
sure. But also
real time attention.
But like people are like, oh, he didn't respond to my letter. There's like, it's like, listen, like this guy's like, if you responded, if people, you meet us like, I'm meeting so-and-so and it's very important in your life. You know, when I've met somebody, a celebrity, like, oh my God, I'm meeting this person. Like, it's that happens. They meet people 50 times a day who have that reaction, you know.
But that's the weird part is that asymmetry. Like, it really makes it a challenge to navigate that, knowing that you are just having a casual conversation, but the other person is having a moment, you know. And I don't know. That's challenging and terrifying for me.
Yeah.
Like me, every says, am I the only one that doesn't give a poop about famous people? It's like, well, I mean, that's something that don't think of it as this as a conversation about fame. Think of it as a conversation about the people that you find interesting, be they, you know, famous or not. You know, I think we all have people that we look up to and admire or art that we connect with, like that expressing that kind of gratitude in person would theoretically make one happy. And I think that's kind of the soul of what we're getting to. Not necessarily like, hey, you were on the TV. I like you now.
Yeah, so here, like, I don't care. I don't get like stars. I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's so and so. But but then again, they're like, man, I think this cool person's cool. Like, I'm for me, it's like people are like, oh, would you like to meet Elon Musk? I'm like, why? So I can waste his time. You know, so I could take 5 minutes out of his time away from the Tesla Model 3 shipping or us getting to Mars. Like,
yeah,
I would have a dumbing effect on that guy. You know?
Yeah, but you also might give them new ideas.
Oh, count on that. there was the description of like how he talked about there was this oh, Elon Musk is at some, you know, Bay Area sex party, right? And Elon Musk commented about this. He says, like, I didn't know it was a sex party. I showed up. And he says, he said something like, quote, I was getting hounded by startups, you know,
yeah,
and hounded. And you're like, and to introduce the term hounded, it's like, yeah, he shows up at this party and then everybody's swapping, you know, flocking around this guy. And it's like, oh yeah, I don't know. You know, fire him. I don't know. I don't know what the positive is there, you know. Anyhow, thought. But we're approachable. Please approach us.
Are.
No, really, right now. It's fine. somebody recognize me, please. No. You say that and then it happens, then it's weird. I had a mother come up to me. I was at Disneyland and this standing there, this little kid goes and hides behind his mother, sees me, hides behind the mother. I'm like, I've never had that reaction before. And the mother goes, he's seen your show. He's afraid of you.
That's funny.
I'm like, I don't want to. No, I was hurt. I'm like, I don't want to.
That is one of the weird things about being on the, forgive me for including both of us in this, but I would say some of the lowest rungs of fame, enough where you do get recognized and that is a real thing, but largely you get to live your life as a normal human being and then you encounter someone.
Every time I hang out with you guys, somebody comes up and is like, hi, is that Justin Robert Young? I recognize the voice. Are you Brian? Are you Scam School? I would say that's happened. I've been with Tom and that's happened. I see that happen a lot.
That is the weirdest ones are people who freak out when they recognize the voice, realizing they've never known what we look like.
Yeah.
they're like, oh, wait, I know that voice.
Yeah. But I've been in a line
at an Apple store once, and the dude just kept like edging around to find out if I was who I was. He was like leading me.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yep. Hey, I got a quick pick. Go watch Counterpoint. Go subscribe to Stars and watch, Counterpart. Ignore that first pick. My real pick is Counterpart with J.K. Simmons. It's on Stars. It's a very simple idea. There was one planet, and now there's two, and there's a very narrow split in between the two, and most of the world doesn't know that the other one exists, and almost nobody ever gets to meet their titular counterpart. Except J.K. Simmons does, and it's pretty great.
Is it? I mean, that's cool. I love J.K. Simmons, the trailer. I'm like, man, like this feels like kind of like
It's familiar territory. It's familiar territory. However, it's J.K. Simmons, and you're not watching it because you haven't ever heard an idea like this before. You're watching it because J.K. Simmons is one of the most gifted actors of our age, and watching him play amazing. Opposite himself is mesmerizing. It's hypnotizing. It's great.
Cool. Yeah, I love him. So, cool. On your recommendation, Brian,
woo.
I would do that. Justin, any other picks?
Yeah, there's a new podcast called Origins, and I forget who does it, but it's a author of one of my favorite James Andrew Miller. He has primarily done over the last few years a book about ESPN and a book about ICM or maybe CAA, one of the big agencies out in Hollywood. But he is famous for his writing style being all quotes. So he'll set up certain issues and then basically let the people who are actually there tell their own story. And so he has spun that into a podcast, and they've done, it's all focusing on the origins of various TV shows and outlets and movies and stuff like that. But it has been really, really good so far. Not the least of which, because that dude's got a Rolodex. And when he wants to talk to the, primary movers and shakers, he's talking to the primary movers and shakers, be they CEOs, producers, actors, former employees. And he's got the kind of stroke that he'll get, in like the ESPN example, like not only the CEO on the podcast, but also the like embattled, bitter ex-employee. And that's not usually the kind of thing that like the CEO wants to be involved with. They are when James Andrew Miller asks. So I would say you can start with the first one, which is about Curb Your Enthusiasm. Or if you're into the media world, the ESPN ones are great. But go ahead and check that out. Origins.
Cool. One of your picks from before, which I've been enjoying, has been Axios.
Oh, yeah. I dig Axios. It's quick, but good.
So Axios is a news site. They break it down pretty simple. They try to be pretty objective about it. Of course, the issue of any time is the stories you select will expose your biases or what have you. But I like it. It seems it's a very stripped down, streamlined news source. When you try to read an article on something and you get 5 billion pop-ups and news and things like, videos start playing, it's a very frustrating experience. And it's the challenge of news these days is that it's just this commodity that's, there's more and more content out there and less money into it, and it makes it frustrating. And then all the fake articles on the site. And that's what's disturbing now is like you see the fake articles that pop up on the side because some algorithms decided, oh, this is going to get you to click, and like my favorite latest one is how to make an atheist shut up in 30 seconds. And it's this photo of like this angry looking homeless kind of guy, I'm like,
turns out the answer is, I respect that you have different beliefs than me.
Yeah. Yeah. We can all live together and get along, which is, oh yeah, that'd be good. That's what I say to my,
friends. Who's making those fake article things with like the pictures? Like, is that all just like algorithm or is?
I think
like,
those are human. I think there are people there that are writing, they're like, how do you like, oh, okay, we got like, cause I linked out a thing to CNN and someone's like, oh, you read CNN. I'm like, I read everything. You're not going to know if you looked at what news sites I go to, you're not going to know what my beliefs probably maybe you would, I'm across the spectrum what I go to. So I go everywhere. And so, cause I want to know like, what do these people say? Why don't these people interpret it and all that? But I saw that was like on a conservative site. So they presume that like, I'm probably like super religious and I want to shut those atheists up in a good Christian way.
Yeah.
The thing I can't stand is all of the ads. We've talked about this before, but it's like, man, if you want to remember a product or service you purchased for the next 3 weeks, ever look at anything on the web ever.
I ordered an exercise bike, right? And that's a nice higher ticket item. So what do I get still? Exercise bikes. But then what's funny is I got a one site and I get this come to Israel and it's like 3 dudes and like tiny speedos walking along and 2 of them are holding hands. I'm like, I went to Israel and I know that's part of what's in Tel Aviv, but that's not what I liked about it. And then a few days later I get come to Israel, this beautiful girl, bike. A bosomy. And I'm like,
Like you're testing. You're testing me.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that stuff is you are not lying. The fastest way to see a million ads for something is to buy it online.
Yeah,
for whatever reason, that's the cookie that they can't the elusive I already bought it cookie. That's something that is not shared throughout the web, because every time you buy anything, like buy a printer, hey, would you want to buy 17 more printers? Look at all these printer deals.
No, I definitely am still getting the hard sell. I should experience iFly. Even kids can fly in a tube at iFly.
Yeah, I do a lot of research for my books, and then I get all these ads that come up too now, like above ground pools, tons of above ground pools, jet leasing. You know, now I'm like, yeah, you want to rent jets? No, really, you should. If you want to rent a jet, rent it. I'm an author. I don't think this is really practical, but anyhow, gentlemen, it's been after.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.